I really do feel like this is the offseason of massive change or potential massive change for college athletics. There have been in offseasons massive news. Like Nick Saban retiring was big. NIL changing the game was massive. Portal, I shouldn't say restrictions, but lack thereof has been massive. But I don't know if this offseason, when it's all said and done, in the ramifications of what is probably going to happen to some extent, if not fully, is not going to shape the sport for generations to come. You know, I look at today's college athletics and see what people are trying to do and agree that there needs to be guardrails and there needs to be places where we put our foot down and say enough is enough. Brendan Sorsby being a situation as the supplemental draft is not going to be happening for the NFL this season because of him. But it continues to form, does the NCAA, in the right direction, whether you like them or not. Today, the Division I NCAA cabinet approved, not official until tomorrow, and unanimously voted to approve the age-based eligibility model that now will conclude in the final decision on Wednesday for the 5-for-5 rule, which we'll explain, and the age limit to it. An amendment was also made in this saying that players or athletes that are currently eligible will be freshmen from this year's class, not like 2026, to juniors will be eligible. Non-4-year seniors will be eligible for this rule to take place. The amendment was to not hold for any players to not have this ruling, that it would have started with the upcoming 2027 class. However, that amendment was passed today. So there are a lot of questions surrounding this 5-for-5 rule. Let's discuss what it is. Guys, it's 5 years to play 5 seasons. It doesn't matter what sport. It doesn't matter if you go and play Major League Baseball and try to come back. Your eligibility starts when you turn 19 years of age. It starts when you enroll in campus. So basically, or roll into any campus, basically in a nutshell, the NCAA approved today that there can't be 6-year seniors. There can't be 7 years of eligibility. There's no more medical waivers. There's no more waivers unless pregnancy, mission, or military is involved for that eligibility issue. Meaning, if God willing, a student athlete gets pregnant and they're unable to participate, they will then seek another year of eligibility and be granted that. Military service, mission, like BYU as an example, can be a part of that. So there are some amendments there. So what is the 5-for-5 rule? Basically, come down. It's 5 years to play 5 seasons in the sport that you choose. That is basically it. The problem has been we have had growing situations like Trinidad Chambliss. We have had growing situations like Lewis Murphy. Lewis Murphy was in his 7th year of eligibility and started at safety for Indiana on a national championship team and made a massive play in the 4th quarter that maybe you can make the argument swung the game in Indiana's favor. By the way, Miami was 1 drive away from beating Indiana if they don't throw the interception by Carson Beck. Trinidad Chambliss sues, and when he sues, he is granted a TRO that gives him the eligibility to play another year, even though he did not redshirt. Oh, and by the way, redshirts do not exist anymore. So, there are a lot of things to discuss, and we will do an LSU as my phone is blowing up. Did somebody just commit? No. Okay. Every time my phone blows up in the summer, I start like, okay, what just happened? But with that being said, it's a baseline of what is to come. We're going to do an LSU edition in just a moment. I do agree and glad the amendment came down. If you read the initial amendment that was supposed to be passed for the 5-for-5 ruling, it was not going to bring in freshmen that are current freshmen, sophomores, and juniors into this fold. That amendment being placed, I think, is a good deal. Everybody gets to be on the same rule. And I think the NCAA got it right for once. Whenever, if the old rule or new rule helps a player out, whichever one is best for the player, the NCAA will grant in this circumstance. Great. It's a great move by the NCAA. Here's just the truth. We can't have a situation like Trinidad Chambliss continue to occur. Guys, we can't have Joey Aguilar-level situations continuing to occur. Now, we can ask the question, what does that mean for the current basketball team that Will Wade has assembled? That's a great question. That is a fantastic question that, guys, I got to be completely blunt with you. I know that they feel as if that they have a plan for some of these young men. Do they? Because, Gus, I really don't know outside of suing the NCAA again. Now, speaking of being sued, this amendment and this unanimously voted approval and bylaw by the NCAA has already been sued. It's been sued by seniors that are mainly, 50 seniors, by the way, mainly attached to men's basketball. So there's already 50 people lined up to sue this bylaw that the NCAA has just granted. So I don't really know of any legal authority that they have. If you still at this current moment can't go get a TRO, temporary restraining order for eligibility against the NCAA, this rule is not set in stone, nor is it concrete. So I like it. I like the 5 years to play five seasons, whatever sport that you're in. We can't have 25-year-olds, 24, 25, 26-year-olds playing this sport. I just don't agree with it. I didn't agree with Trinidad Chambliss. I wouldn't have, you know, personally, I still wouldn't have agreed with Trinidad Chambliss. I said as much even before the decision was made if he was coming to LSU or not. I just don't agree with it. There comes a point in time where you got to put your foot down and say, you can't sue your way into oblivion just to get everything that you want. That's neither here nor there. But the Lewis Murphy situation cannot happen. The TJ Finley situation cannot happen. Those are egregious situations that continue to mount. Now, if you've been following this offseason, the Protect College Sports Act, the PCSA, is something that Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell are trying to pass. I have no idea if it's going to pass or not. The SEC and Big Ten don't want that, but the 5-for-5 rule is a major step for the NCAA, and it's also something that is a part of the PCSA marker that Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell are trying to pass. So, with all of that being said, here's just the real question that you're asking. How does this rule affect LSU? From a basketball perspective, I got to be completely real with you. Do I think people are going to come out with takes and say, well, this is how it's going to rule college basketball from an LSU perspective? I'm sure that they will. People that do what I do or what they do, it's their job to do that. I just don't think that they have any living clue. Because until you get this to a courtroom, because the NCAA is not going to approve some of these young men that are currently on your basketball team. With that being said, you're going to have to go to court. Let me make this very clear. This is an NCAA rule right now. It's already going to be sued. It's already being sued by players that are in men's basketball. If they are granted, by the way, this is going, I think, in 7 or 8 states. The NCAA is being sued at the same time in reference to this rule. Guys, if they lose in one, they got to win one of the 8. They have to win one of the 8 to set precedent. I don't know how that's going to affect what Will Wade and company already have planned. I don't think it really changes anything from a massive standpoint. Now, do I think that ultimately this rule needs to pass? Without a doubt. I don't care if it affects LSU in a positive way or in a negative way. There's no way it's going to affect it negatively. right, other than this year's men's basketball team. I think I agree with this rule, and I think that you should too. In reference to an LSU edition of this, what does this mean for other sports outside of basketball, other than, guys, it's a bylaw. The bylaw's getting sued already. God forbid that somebody goes to court and wins. This is going to set precedent for LSU and Will Wade. Okay, sounds good. It's where we are currently in college athletics. And I would assume being here in this point in college athletics has started to aggravate you because it's not what we grew up and how we grew up loving the sport. In an LSU edition of things, there have been a lot of questions that have come out with this. The NCAA told Ross Dellinger a month and a half ago of Yahoo Sports that they did not plan to come up with a vote during the summer or before the season, that they had planned on making this ruling in December. Well, joke's on everybody. The ruling has come down. So now that this bylaw has come down, how does this affect Major League Baseball in reference to the draft? How does this affect football, if anything? Guys, to be completely real with you, I don't know how much it affects football outside of guys being granted more years of eligibility. From the NFL standpoint, those guys will only have 5 years to play, so maybe that's a plus for them, even though the NFL is whining and stating that they don't have enough free agents and their pool is running thin. Well, that's a you problem. That's not a college football problem. But the question has come up about Jake Brown, and rightfully so. The question has come up for Stephen Milam. Now that Jake Brown, with his bylaw being passed, can utilize that to get another year of leverage. Here's where I currently stand on that, and I'm not moving anywhere on what I feel. Baseball America came out with their top 50 prospects going into this year's Major League Baseball draft. In that, Jake Brown is now sitting on Baseball America's top 50 players at 44. That slot value is at $2.3 million. You're not going to give him that level of money. Now, can he come back, work himself into a first-round pick, all of that kind of stuff, without a doubt? But there are things that circle around in my mind when I think about Jake Brown at the current moment. Are you going to turn down $1 million? Are you going to turn it down to come back? LSU has already gone after Beano Waters and landed. They've already gone after Jason Wax and landed. We were going to talk a little bit about the baseball portal last night, but I had to get to Ruffino and Joe's show, and I didn't have time to really dive into it. But LSU has been having conversations with Angel Laya from Oregon, who is a left-handed bat and is a really good outfielder and has been talking to Texas, Texas A&M, Georgia, Arkansas, LSU, and multiple Oregon. You know, the On3 Oregon people are pushing that LSU is the front runner. I have not personally heard that right now. I think that's a little bit premature, but LSU is still having conversations with Angel. You wouldn't be having conversations, number one, if you fully believe that, well, really for what it's worth, that you thought that Jake Brown was returning. You're going to go get three outfielders from the portal because if the kid says he wants to come to LSU, you're going to turn him down? I think you would turn him down for Jake Brown, but you wouldn't be pursuing him if you believe that. I just have a hard time believing that Jake Brown turns down $2.3 million. Last offseason, coming after the national title, you remember all of the rumors. I can pull up all of the social media, LSU media clips of a lot of people, you know who it was, not us, not me, coming out saying that Jake Brown's going to enter the portal. He was never remotely close to entering the portal. I do believe that some of the rumors that are coming out are mainly based due to wanting to use this to leverage to try to push him into that top 32 where I don't think Jake is going to land. So, I pray to God that I'm wrong. Okay? I pray to God that Jake Brown returns. This isn't a situation for me. Why wouldn't I want him to? So Jake Brown technically could return for another year, his fourth year, and still technically, quote unquote, have leverage. I don't know if Major League Baseball sees it that way. They don't really see it that way because they don't know if they will give that leverage. So let me explain. There is a thought process that Jake could return and have another year of eligibility and have another year of leverage. Well, then Jake kind of loses his leverage in some regards from the Major League Baseball new collective bargaining agreement if it were to be passed. Let me explain on that. In case you missed it, the Major League Baseball sent a memo to the MLBPA. Okay, there were things about college baseball that was in there, about high school players not coming in, etc. That I don't think that's going to pass. It is what it is. But they're trying to construct contracts to where guys don't get the money that they are now getting, like Connor Griffin, early into mid part of their career. They need to start arbitration much sooner. So I don't know from any Major League Baseball player that would get drafted if this new collective bargaining agreement were to be passed, that these massive contracts that we're seeing is not going to be pushed back more until later dates of careers. And that would mean college players would need to start that process now if it's based off the current MLB arbitration. The thing with Major League Baseball right now that could benefit in LSU and everybody's really and truthfully, really in everybody's arena, this will have to happen soon if it does. I don't think that it will. Is that Major League Baseball very well could be going on a strike. We could be seeing a lot of craziness going around Major League Baseball very soon. I'm having a very hard time. I understand all of the rumors. I understand all of the situations that are coming out surrounding Jake Brown. Again, let me emphasize this to the nth degree. I hope what I am about to say from an LSU standpoint is wrong. I just don't know if I see him turning down, if he's going to be in the top 50 picks. I just don't know if I see him turning down double the money that he would get at LSU. You heard that right. To not go in the draft because he's not a first round pick. I do believe that his camp is using this for leverage. I do believe last year they used the portal rumors as leverage to get a little bit more than they wanted, and they got it. Good for them. But I don't want to come out here and say like sources or something like that. But what I will say is if Jake Brown falls into mid to late of the second round, there are multiple teams out there that will not hesitate at that 55 to 60 marker to not only take him, but to take him and pay him very handsomely. Very handsomely. I just don't know if I see him returning. Steven Milam, on the other hand, is going to benefit off of this greatly. I don't think Derek Curiel is returning. He's probably going to make $3.5 to $4 million, depending on how things shake out for him, in the top 15 to 17 picks. There's no way that he's returning. None. Because unless all chaos were to break out and he just falls, okay, then whatever. I just don't see that happening. He has two elite bat-to-ball skills for that to happen. Jake Brown, on the other hand, guys, is he going to turn down second-round money? That is really difficult for me to believe. It's very difficult. I think people have a perception of what around here, of what the 5-for-5 rule is, based off of what a camp is telling them and not going and getting the other stuff and other sides of it and getting the full context. Again, I pray to God that I'm wrong. I didn't really see Steven Milam returning until it did, and I broke the news on that as well. You can be wrong on an opinion. The 5-for-5 rumor that they are pushing is not in good context because you can go ask any Major League Baseball scout and or front office, and they'll tell you, why would we use that as leverage? Then go back. If you believe that it doesn't benefit you to come here when we drafted you, then go back. Go back then. Because you're going to see with the fourth year as a senior, if you don't take a massive step, what it will be. Here's the last thing on that. Next year's draft is absolutely stacked. Guys, dudes like Derek Curiel, who very well could be a top 15 pick if projected in next year's draft, okay, per Baseball America, goes from 15th to 30th. That doesn't seem very significant. It seems very significant to me. Again, I will say for the third and last time, I hope I'm wrong from an LSU standpoint. I just don't know right now if I see a world where he returns. It doesn't make sense. Stephen Milam makes sense in this regard. Guys, Stephen Milam was not going to be a first I don't believe Stephen Milam was going to go in the first three rounds. To be completely blunt with you, I don't think that he maybe could have gotten into the fourth round. But I believe that Stephen Milam is going to make more money at LSU than he would have made from the draft this year. Actually, let's just be blunt. You would say there's no way. Yes, there's a way. He will be paid more money to return to LSU for a fourth year than he will be. Well, technically, you have him for two more years in this regard. I just don't see a world where Jake Brown is going to fall so far to where he's not doubling what I think LSU could give him. Now, another context of that, not really revolving Jake Brown. LSU has been in conversations with Angel Laya from Oregon. You're not having more conversations with outfielders. Now, maybe, I guess, technically, you could move Beano Waters to first and tell Mason Braun that you're just going to have to figure it out. Unless you're trying to go after another dude that could play the corner, one of the corner infields. Why are you having conversations with another outfielder? Heavy conversations. This isn't a joke. Like, they're not playing around in reference to having conversations with him. Here's what I also tell you. Jay Johnson is a beast in recruiting. Jay Johnson has been doing things in recruiting, especially in the portal, like he did with Jason Wax, that most head coaches weren't doing. When Jason Wax committed, Jay Johnson gave him no choice. Zero choice. Jay is going to be where he needs to be. Hear what I'm saying. He needs to be where he's going to be where he needs to be to get what he believes is top level dudes. Now, Laya last year hit 296 with 14 home runs, 47 RBIs. He walked 27 times and got hit by pitches 10 times. Can play either corner outfield and has the potential, to hit 20 bombs. That is his potential. Another top 60 draft guy in your outfield for next year. Maybe Jake Brown does return. In reference to Laya, I think he would be really good on one of the corner outfields. He's got a lot of power. He did really good job against P4 opponents. He did struggle in the Austin Regional. Did not struggle in his own. Or Austin Super Regional didn't struggle in his own. I think you get into a situation where you look at this and say, guys, the draft is fast approaching. Jake Brown's not going to be a first-round pick. The rumor that is out there is that if he is not a first-round pick that he's returning, then why you're not going to be one. You're not going to be one. Your draft is not going to fall or rise because there's nothing that Jake Brown can do. And here's the truth. I don't know if he should. I do think that this is being used as a bit of leverage. It's my opinion. Jake Brown is an exceptional player. Someone is getting a steal, a flat-out steal, regardless of where he goes, because he is a first-round level talent. Barring the injury, guys, you know what the truth is. He would have gone in the first round. So, the 5-for-5 bylaw eligibility rule that came down today in reference to how that would affect LSU baseball right now, we will see. I don't know. How could it affect it in the future? That is a whole different conversation. The conversation that you could have, how does it affect Beano Waters? How does it affect Dawson Park? How does it affect, I don't know if well, how does it affect the Cade Aaron Beatty? I don't know if Omar Serna is going to be a draft eligible sophomore or not, but that's going to be a very interesting situation to come and find. How does moving forward, how does it affect baseball? It has always been of my opinion, especially in the NIL era, if somebody that is in college that is draft eligible is potentially or is going to be a top 50 pick, guys, or even really a top 65 pick, I just don't know if I see them ever coming back. You're talking about in college baseball, the high-end guys make anywhere from $750,000 a year to maybe $800,000. Maybe someone special could get into seven figures. You're still, if you're in the top 50, turning down double that. I just don't see it. I don't see it. How this will affect the game of baseball in the future will be a question that you and I will have to discuss and see how Major League Baseball also adapts this. How do they adapt and adopt that bylaw and rule? Do they even flinch? I don't know. Now, with a potential cap, maybe this benefits college baseball more than we know. Guys, I would love for Major League Baseball to make high school athletes go to college. Do you understand how nuts it would be for college baseball if that were to happen? It would be insane. If this collective bargaining agreement passes and there is an actual cap of Major League Baseball, and the Dodgers and Yankees can't do the things that they're currently doing, then maybe all of this with the 5-for-5 rule, high school players not being able to go, I don't think they get that part. There's no telling what is going to happen. It will benefit college baseball. The SEC literally is better than AA. Some would argue to some extent even AAA, depending on what team you're facing. I'm going to need to see Jake Brown return. I will just say, I hope that he does. I'm going to need to see it. And I'm going to need to get the sourcing behind it besides his camp pushing it to believe it. Because if you talk to Major League Scouts, yes, he's going to get taken in the top, let's be conservative, 65 picks. And even in the top 70, there will be teams that will give him $2 million to go and play for them. We will see. I don't want to share an opinion on how college baseball is going to adopt and adapt to this because I really don't know. My theory would be it would give more leverage to players in college. I don't know that. I don't know that fully. I think that it will. It's going to be interesting to see how they adapt and adopt that. But if they don't have, here's the thing. If they can't go after high school players, right? Meaning if high school players are ineligible, that means that college players will be the only thing eligible. So that means that the guys that they are drafting, first round guys or not, like if you weren't drafting anybody that's eligible at a high school in this year's draft, because Jake Brown's not making it more than likely out of the top 20 picks, much less the top 50. You see what I'm saying? It's going to be very interesting. Very interesting to see what happens. I hope he returns. In reference to football, good you don't have seven-year safeties. Good you don't have TJ Finley. TJ Finley doesn't happen anymore. Good. You know what's crazy about TJ Finley is I've known TJ and his brother and his dad for a long time. Shout out to Ponchatoula. I am shocked that he is the face of what college athletics has become. I am shocked. With that being said, I think it will stop a lot of the bull malarkey that has been happening in college athletics. This bill means, quite honestly, jack shizite. This bylaw, I should say. this bylaw means jack diddly squat because it's about to get sued and lose. Now, it can still be a bylaw. It can still be utilized. It can still be effective. But having Trinidad Chambliss, Lewis Murphy, TJ Finley, and others being able to play based after that, it's not going to happen because the NCAA is ruling on it. I don't see how it affects college football other than a handful of those guys that don't belong not being there. It definitely would have affected Indiana, though. I just don't think it's as big of an issue in football as maybe some other sports like basketball. All right. Nevertheless, we're live. I see a lot of people throwing stuff in here. Speaking of that, Ricky Pope with gifted 20 AYS Sports memberships. Well, good for Ricky because tomorrow morning at we're going to do it. Tomorrow morning, we will have some AYS members content up for you. We're going to have it up. So look forward to that. Look forward to seeing you there. Thank you, Ricky, for always being very supportive of AYS. And AYS members on YouTube, we'll see y'all tomorrow. Demi also gifted 5 AYS Sports memberships. We greatly appreciate you doing that. My man, greatly appreciate you. Greatly, greatly appreciate you. All right, let me do this. Let me get to a quick break. I see some other super chats in there that we will get to coming out of the break. It is officially football season, which, well, you know what that means. It's officially talking season. We do this every year. I love talking about this, what you should expect, and we will talk about that when we come back. But need to talk about our good friends and partners over at 24/7 Sports. Guys, go over to Go247. A lot of recruiting nuggets are flying over there right now. Use the promo code AYS60 at checkout. That's AYS60 at checkout to get 60% off of your annual VIP membership. Nagy has a lot of massive content over on the board right now. What is up with Eastern Royal? What is up with Jalen Brewster? Where is LSU's next commitment coming from? Nagy and the gang have you over there. So go over and use that promo code AYS60 to get 60% off of your annual VIP membership. Got lots to discuss when we come back. Stay with us.
He will sell your house and find you a new. Well, Tyler's the man, he's here for you. If you want to buy or sell, well, it's not too late. Dial 955-0008. Just call 955-0008. Y'all call Tyler, he'll shoot you straight.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Red Stick Financial. They're your local residential mortgage broker located right here in the heart of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. At Red Stick Financial, they find the bank that works for your particular set of needs to purchase the home of your dreams or refinance the current one. They truly are your partners in this process, and they pride themselves in helping individuals and families with one simple goal in mind, and that is to make home financing approachable, attainable, and stress-free. They are licensed in all Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. So from Amarillo to Meridian and everything in between, they have you covered. Red Stick Financial brings you creative, customized solutions, and they don't believe in the one-size-fits-all when it comes to loans. They even have special options for mobile and manufactured homes located in a flood zone and stated income financing for those of us who are self-employed borrowers. If you or someone you know is looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, or simply want to know what options are out there for your future, give Red Stick Financial a call today at 225-407-9250. That's 225-407-9250. Or check them out online at redstickfinancial.com. That's redstickfinancial.com. Before you purchase the home of your dreams or you go and do that refinance, you need to go local. Go Red
Stick. We're back.
Where is everyone? Where is everyone watching from tonight? Are you in the 985, the 225, the 504, the 337, the 318, 31 great? Or are you representing the state while being outside of the state? Where are you watching from tonight is the big question. Shaquan, I see you have 3 super chats here. We're going to wait to hold on to those for just a minute. So I did want to start off with this. I knew this was coming. Last night, I knew that this was coming. I went on with Bud Elliott on Cover 3, and he talked about schedule. I knew this was coming. I knew how you felt about it. I know they posted a clip. I saw it. Y'all reacted to it. Trust me, I've been seeing it all day. I don't agree with him. Now, I do understand where he's coming from. You don't want to hear that. We talked about that last night. I do get where he's coming from. He believes A&M, Ole Miss, and Alabama take steps back. I don't think it's a cakewalk even when you say that as well. So, it is what it is. So, Oklahoma, how about Skip Johnson and the Sooners? You know what's interesting about Oklahoma, even though they hit 49 or 50 home runs the last, 20 games? That is insane. Even though they did that, Skip Johnson, two national title appearances in the last 5 years. He just won one. Good for Skip Johnson. Gotta love it. They went on one hell of a run. Beating Georgia Tech, beating Kansas, beating Georgia, beating North Carolina. That's an insane run to a natty. They pitched and slugged their way to it. Good for them. So the seventh straight season, the SEC is going to win a national title. Arkansas should have probably won it in 2018, but they can't catch a pop fly. So, freaking Arkansas. I do like Todd Butler. I do like Skip Johnson. Oklahoma, man, they recruited athletes. The most country head coach in all of the SEC went and got athletes. Look how amazing they were. When Harris threw your boy out at third last night before the run scored, I was like, it's over. Oh, and it's over. What a throw by Harris. Good for Oklahoma. Baseball resides in the SEC. It resides in the SEC. Do you understand how crazy it is that the 11th ranked team in the SEC just won a natty? By the way, LSU went 2-2 against them. Now, I saw some Ole Miss fans saying, oh, look at this dummy. Okay, do you understand how fine of a line it is to be as bad as LSU was to that team going on a run and winning a natty? It's insane, man. And they beat, guys, one of the two last losses that Oklahoma has in the last 60 days comes to LSU. God bless America. You can't make that up. So it is what it is. But we're not here to talk about the College World Series. With that being said, it officially marks the offseason of college football. We're back. We are back. I do look at the end of baseball season as us officially getting there. Now, we're technically not there. We got, 3 weeks until media day starts, and then I guess it technically kicks off and we're getting ready to go. Guys, it's football season. One of the funnest segments that we do every offseason is the narratives going in to LSU football into the season. You know, when we go into and College Baseball World Series is over, it really starts ramping up the who's the best coaches in college or college football, who's the best coaches in the SEC, who do we think is going to win, be in the playoff, who do we think is going to win the SEC or Big Ten. All of these lists start being made. Shout out Big Game Boomer. I'm sure he was cheering for Oklahoma last night. Dude needs to come back, but that's neither here nor there. When we start this offseason, we start seeing, hey, here are the top 5 to 10 best head coaches in such and such a conference. And the other night I saw our good friend, Josh Pate, post on socials his top 10 coaches in the SEC. And the first thought that I had was, oh no, too early. You can't do it. Don't fall for the bait. And I also went into this season saying to myself that in a first year of a head coach, I was not going to overreact to these lists that are being made, depending on where Lane Kiffin was or depending on where people have you ranked and going into the preseason. If you are even ranked, you will be. But if people have you at 8th in the SEC, does it really matter? It's good for bullet points. It's good for talking points. It's good to bring the season in. Don't act like you don't enjoy it, because I know that you do. But I saw Josh Pate have Lane Kiffin at number five. And I was intrigued to see him have Lane at five. Now, he had Kirby at number one, and I was like, yeah, there's no real argument. He had Kalen DeBoer at two, which two of the last 3 years, Kalen DeBoer has made it to the playoff. He's had a national title appearance. Okay, if you want to have that argument, even if I don't agree with that, I concede the notion that even if you don't like Bama, even if you don't like Kalen DeBoer, I understand at least where you're coming from. The man did coach in a national title game. The man did just get to the playoffs in year two at Alabama. I understand it. I might not agree with it. I understand it. However, he had Steve Sarkisian and Mike Elko at 3 and 4. And yes, I kind of had a problem with that. I do believe that Lane Kiffin is a top three head coach in the SEC. The reason I believe that he is a top three coach in the SEC is basically his entire resume at Ole Miss. Now, I know that you could look at the first season when Lane was at Ole Miss and say, oh, well, they went sub 500 during COVID. Yeah, whatever. I know that you can look after their Sugar Bowl loss season and Matt Corral's not there anymore and it's Jackson Dart's first year and they go 8 and 5. Yeah, well, I understand that, but they're still building at Ole Miss. And then I see a run but nothing but 10-win seasons for Lane Kiffin. You know, if the college football playoff would have been enacted, then more than 2 years at 12 teams, Lane Kiffin would have gotten his team in 2021. He would have gotten his team in 2023. And he would have gotten his team in 2025. That's more than anybody on that list, not named Kirby. Now, you could say that Texas potentially, but they would have had two. They made it back-to-back years in the Big 12 and then the SEC. And they beat Clemson and then they lost to Michigan. And you got to give Sark a lot of credit. Their team went to the Final Four 2 years ago. If you want to get into a debate about Sark, I get it. Lane Kiffin orchestrated team and offensive staff literally just made it to the Final Four. Well, Lane wasn't on the sidelines and he has to be docked for that. Well, what about more playoff appearances if you would have been in a 12-team system than Steve Sarkisian? By the way, doing that at Ole Miss versus being at Texas. See, Lane has a lot of things around him, right? Meaning Lane has the whole persona of social media and all of the quote-unquote what I don't believe is chaos, but what some people believe is chaos, and yet when it comes time to give the man his flowers, why aren't people doing it? Guys, last season in the SEC, Lane Kiffin went 11-1. They lost to the SEC champion on the road, and that was their only loss. I don't really believe that it was all on Lane, based off of what Ole Miss fans tell me, that, well, Pete Golden was really the one maintaining everything. Well, that offense and LSU's offensive staff orchestrated five straight touchdowns against Georgia on the road. And that same offensive system was the reason, and offensive staff was the reason that they beat Georgia, because Pete couldn't stop a bloody nose with a tampon. That defense could do nothing. He had four 10-win seasons at Ole Miss. Sark has that at Texas. How are you going to tell me that there's not a difference? Both of the teams, when they were head coaches, led their way to a Final Four. Lane would have been in a 12-team playoff system three times. You could make the argument that they should have been in the 12-team playoff a year ago. I think that they were better than Clemson, as an example. Guys, you and I both know that they were better than Clemson and SMU. But their record, what about their record? Lane Kiffin is a top three head coach in the SEC. You can have the arguments about Sark and the playoff appearances. Well, Lane would have had that in 12-team playoffs too. The team that Lane put together made it to a Final Four, even though he wasn't there. What would they have done with him? You're saying that he's not a good enough of a head coach, that if him being there, that they could have found a way to pull one off against Miami? I think people don't understand the move that Lane Kiffin just did and how massive it really was. I truly don't understand the Elko thing. I don't understand how Mike Elko is placed ahead of him when he made it to one playoff game and one playoff appearance in 2 years at Texas A&M when Lane would have done it three times in a 12-team playoff system at Ole Miss. Guys, you have a top three head coach in the SEC in your own conference. He's already done it and proven it. If you're asking me a question, I would put him over Kalen DeBoer, yes. It would be Kirby, it would be Lane, it would be DeBoer, it would be Sark. That's the order that I would have it in. I think Sark, for what it's worth, has done less with more. Where I think Lane has done more with less. I think that DeBoer, as an example, took arguably the toughest situation of Saban and trying to be that replacement. Guys, he was in a national title game 3 years ago. His team just made a playoff and had another playoff win. Yes, they got trounced by Indiana. So did a lot of teams. But I said I wasn't going to get into this buying in where Lane is or Lane isn't, or where people perceive that you're going to be into the SEC. But I think everybody's walking around this LSU thing with kid gloves. I think what you're going to see this offseason is the yeah, but factor. LSU has a lot of talent, but I actually agree with that one, to be real with you. I actually agree with the, man, I think they're extremely freaking talented in a lot of positions. 60 new players is a lot, and it's a lot to overcome with a new system, new staff, new players, etc. It's tough, and I'm not going to act like their schedule is going to give them any help throughout the entire year, because it's not. But they are really talented, and Lane has already shown that he can do more with less. He's already shown at a school in the SEC that with lesser recruits, lesser finances, lesser, I'm just going to call it like I see it, fan base, with a lesser dynamic in facilities, he's already shown you that he can win 10 games in the regular season at an SEC school. You should know you went up against him. Mike Elko's done it once. Him and Sark are about at the same length. And if you want to have the argument about DeBoer, be my guest. You could probably jumble up 2 through 4, 2 through 5, but to have Lane Kiffin behind Mike Elko, to have him behind Sark, it does come off of me in the wrong way. But welcome to talking season, because that is what it's going to be. Lane is who Lane is. You know, I said this a couple of times, and before we kind of wrap up here, I do feel like there's two personas of this man. I do. The one that I see that everybody tries to convince me of, and which probably is on social media, versus the dude that, well, I was around for a month and a half, 2 months, every day on the football field. Because to be real with you, I was a little blown away because I thought he would be more Joe Cool, California Cool. That's what I thought the Lane Kiffin coaching style would be. Telling some of the defensive linemen and chewing their ass was not on my bingo card. Him getting in people and receivers' faces, him getting on coaches' asses, telling them to pick it up, that they're slacking, that was not on my bingo card. Seems like Saban maybe did rub off on him a little bit. And he's anal about every little thing offensively. I mean, to a T. He knows offensively what everybody needs to be doing to the microorganism in the grass of where they need to line up. Guys, you did not hire a top five head coach in the SEC. In my opinion, you hired a top two. With that comes a lot of expectations. With that comes that you bet you got to come here and win. I think you are. I had a lot of faith in Brian Kelly. And I thought the way that he started it out, it was tough for him to do some of the things that he needed to do. No one bought in. Nobody bought into BK like they bought in year one to Lane. Y'all know that. Y'all know that. God forbid he wins, right? God forbid you make a playoff this year. That man could ask for a key to the city. He could ask for to never pay for another meal in this city. They'll back him. Could you imagine a playoff game at home at night in Tiger Stadium? Seismographs would fracture. That place would be unhinged. But you have officially made it to talking season. I don't really care where anybody has you ranked. I think you're going to be a really good team. Actually, I think you're going to be borderline playoff team. That's where I have you at right now. Can you overcome and get to 10 wins in the regular season? We'll see. All right. When we come back, we are going to talk a little bit about the offseason, some things we're hearing around the building. Ty Benefield. Name just continues to come up everywhere we, from Lane to Tyrann Mathieu to everybody. But is there something else that's being missed about Ty Benefield that's going on this offseason? We'll talk about it next. Stay with us.
Guys, let me tell you about our good friends over at Grand Slam Heating and Air, where your comfort is their top priority. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they promise to provide customers with high-quality HVAC service at an affordable price while ensuring the homeowner peace of mind. From their office to your home, they guarantee the best hassle-free experience around. Efficiency and comfort is their game. Let them make your home Grand Slam today. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they're offering their annual maintenance plan starting off at $18.75 a month and also doing those $99 tune-up promotions. They provide free estimates for system and ductwork replacement as well as offering financing to get the job done with no money up front. From Baton Rouge to Hammond to Covington, they're all around. So what you need to do today, give them a call at 225-380-9065. That's 225-380-9065. Or go over to their website, getgrandslamair.com. That's getgrandslamair.com, where your comfort is their top priority.
Guys, I want to talk to you about our good friends over the Drake Williams Law Firm and Drake Title Company. Are you facing tough times due to an injury from a car accident, navigating the complexities of divorce, or purchasing a new home? At the Drake Williams Law Firm and Drake Title Company, they understand the challenges you're going through, and they are here to help. The lawyer team of Ernie Drake III, Ryan J. Williams, and Summer Vignair, along with Morgan Daniels, have the experience and proven track record to give you that peace of mind. Give them a call today at 985-386-7600. That's 985-386-7600 to schedule a free consultation at their brand new office located in historic downtown Ponchatoula. They're also doing a special, the AYS special. If you're refinancing or closing on a home in Southeast Louisiana, request the Drake Title Company to handle your closing. If you mention Blake Ruffino and AYS, you're going to receive a $400 discount on title fees. Again, give them a call at 985-386-7600. Let them know that Blake Ruffino sent you on by. When your business, your farm, or your equipment needs fuel, you need someone that you can trust. At Crump Fuel, they deliver quality gasoline, diesel, and lubricants with honest service and local pride across South Louisiana and South Mississippi. From construction sites, marinas, convenience stores, and trucking companies, all the way down to generators and everyday operations, Crump Fuel keeps you rolling. Crump Fuel is family-owned and family-operated. With high-quality and dependable delivery, they're always going to bring that competitive pricing. Call Crump Fuel today at 985-229-4976 or visit them over at crumpfuel.com.
That's 985-229-4976 or visit them at crumpfuel.com today. Crump Fuel, where they're fueling the Gulf South in the right way.
We're back!
I know all of you saw the Brendan Sorsby news today. At least I'm assuming you saw the Brendan Sorsby news today. Dude. I don't even really want to spend another minute on it. I'm glad he doesn't have the ability to go into the supplemental draft. I am 1,000% glad that he does not have the ability to go into the supplemental draft. Period. Period. He doesn't deserve it. Because people, himself and people around him were betting on unders while at Indiana, while players were hurt, and he knew about it. Come on, dude. Come on. Only thing that I think about for that kid is now is that here is a fact. Guys, they leaked the MMR contract. Okay? I just... Who else would benefit from it? That's my thing. It's like people keep trying to convince me that LSU leaked it to Ross Dellinger. Why would they do that? Oh, well, kids will see that they're trying to spend money. Guys, they already were telling kids that they were trying to spend money. They were already trying to sign them to contract. Like, what are you talking about? I ain't got time for that. All right. We do these like weekly check-ins. We normally do them on Thursdays during the off season. We're going to do it tonight because tomorrow's going to be the last show for us of the week. With that being said, guys, there's been a lot being made of Todd Benefield over the last couple of weeks. Last week, Lane Kiffin came out and talked about Ty Benefield being that dude, telling Tyrann Mathieu that he needs to meet him. Whit Weeks coming out telling Tyrann Mathieu today that he, you know, Ty Benefield is that guy. Dude, there's a reason there's a lot of buzz around him. Media, head coach, players alike, because this dude's freaking good. He's freaking good. I really think he's going to be a first team All-American. He's got that level and talent. Now with the brand exposure that LSU brings you, I don't know if he's not going to be a household name soon. So, that's not the thing that has been circling if you talk to people around LSU around Ty Benefield at the current moment. The thing that people will tell you about Ty Benefield, guys, on the field, he's freaking special. And he's going to be special, knock on wood, any injuries or any situations that holds him back. It's not the situation for him. The leadership is where I think a lot of people are being blown away. He knows that this is his time to shine. And whether it is the effort and physicality and overall coverage and everything that he's doing on the field, I feel like is a byproduct based off of the leadership that he's showing. You know, LSU baseball was really bad this year, as we all know. Jake Brown was not. We saw those signs in Jake Brown. Now, the leadership factor didn't hit to the team. I think there was a lot of problems just circling the team that were out of his control. Because he was on pace to hit 20 bombs. And we were talking about Jake earlier in the show. Ty Benefield on the field is the least talked about thing right now when you ask about Ty Benefield based off of the work ethic, all the extra work that he's putting in, what he's doing in the weight room, the extra work at night that he's putting in, the film study that he's putting in, and the leadership vocally that he's doing across for the team. Guys, I do feel like that if there was one MVP coming out of spring and now going into the summer that I just feel like everybody is talking about, it is him. He is him. He is that good. This is another rendition of AJ Halsey light. In the sense of AJ's perception was so much greater because you knew that you needed a safety. You were yearning for better safety play because you weren't getting it. And he filled that massive void of not having Sage Ryan and not having Major Burns. And the dude just got drafted. Todd Benefield very well, I fully believe, is going to get drafted higher than that. I love AJ. I think he's a better player. I think all around he's just a better athlete and a better overall player. AJ Halsey had insane instincts. Insane. Forced multiple turnovers, interceptions. This dude, Todd Benefield, is going to be all over the field making plays for you. So you want to know the big talking point now that July is fastly approaching? It's Ty Benefield. Leadership, on the field, off the field, doing the right things. Guys, people keep, you know, Lane made this joke when I asked him a question about Ty Benefield months ago. And I think it needs to be brought up again. He literally tells players on his team to be more like Ty Benefield. He's a coach's player. We hear of player's coach. He's a coach's player. I don't think that I've kind of checked into the offseason to anybody and his name not come up. Now, some of that's because I'm asking. A lot of that has to do with people just like, are you hearing this? Or let me tell you. Ty Benefield's going to continue to be the name. And I think because, you know, we were talking about national narratives earlier. Ty Benefield's not a name that anybody's talking about right now. Like, nobody's really talking about him nationally. They should be. They 1,000% should be. They should be talking about Ty Benefield over and over and over again. They're not, and it's going to be their loss. 100% is going to be their loss. All right. Seems like Sam Levitt's feeling the pressure, too. I want to thank Ricky again. Yes, we're going to have AYS members content up for you tomorrow. You got my word. We're going to do it. All right, we got some super chats in here. Let's get to some of them. Shaquan goes on a three. Yep, goes three in a row. All right, let's bring him up. $10 super chat from Shaquan says, two-part, I know this is in the past now, and we've all moved on to a lane train, but man, just thinking back to last year, with even with how bad we were offensively, we were still in every game. You were in a lot of them. You were in a lot of them. Shit, you were in a lot of them. You were in Vandy. You were in Ole Miss. Like, the Vandy loss is so stupid. You were in Alabama. You were in Oklahoma. Like, guys, if last year's defense was that's why I'm so high on them. Shaquan brings up a good point. You want to know why I'm so high on LSU football right now? It's because I don't know defensively how massive of a step you take back. Mansoor Delane is going to be a massive thing to replace. Massive. But, like, you're replacing A.J. Halsey. I don't know if Ty Benefield's not better. Tamarcus Coley returns, P.J. Woodland returns, D.J. Pickett returns. Are you not upgrading at backer? Like, I think T.J. Dottery is better than Keys. Like, are you? I think he's better than the Big Brother Weeks. And Witt returns. Guys, you didn't have a defensive lineman drafted last year. There's a strong chance that you have two edges that have the potential to be top 50 picks. Oh, and by the way, you got 3 5-stars that just are coming in, because I'm going to call Deuce Gerald's a 5-star. You have 3 5-star interior defensive linemen coming in. You got to stay healthy. But defensively, and them keeping you in as many games as they kept you in, is why I'm so high on LSU, because offensively, with all due respect to Garrett, with all due respect to Joe Sloan, you stunk. You stunk to high heaven. Shaquan with a $10 super chat says, Ole Miss a stop away from getting ball back. Vandy defense, two stops. Oklahoma, three picks. Bama, close game. A&M in the first, you know, close in the first half. I agree. We just talked about it. So to your super chat. He also sends last one, or yeah, last one, $5 super chat says, if you don't want 24, 25, 26 year olds, then what are your thoughts on some of the guys Will Wade got? LSU fan, by the way, just wondering. I don't think guys that old should be eligible. The thing with Wade is, well, everybody else is doing it. So you can't just come down on Will Wade when everybody else is doing it. That's been my thought. I don't think that those level of dudes should be there. I don't. Not, it's not what's in the best interest of the sport. Y'all know that. The bang, diggy, diggy, said the boogie, says Mark Allen with a $10 super chat or what, whatever Kid Rock said. I don't know what that means. What? All right, LSU fan with a LSU fan IOW sends a $10 super chat. Says Lane Kiffin has tried to tell media to chill with expectations for this team. Do you think it's coach speak or actual concern for this team? I think it's a little bit of both. I think that year one coming in with that schedule is tough. I'm going to read the rest of it in just a minute. I do think it's tough. I do think there's a level of managing expectations for a first-year head coach. I also do think it's coach speak. I do. We'll see. I think it's a good mixture of both. I don't think that Lane thinks that he has an untalented team. By any means. Second part of this says, do you think men's basketball will get eligible, or is there doubt with that? Oh, there's going to be doubt. They're not going to be eligible. Now, can you sue and be granted? Because the bylaw is the bylaw. It's not like, guys, this doesn't really change anything of how college athletics has really gone down, right? Like, My point would be, like, there are bylaws already there that get sued all the time. There already are eligibility rules that get sued. And like, Trinidad, Chambliss, et cetera. A bylaw from the NCAA is still a bylaw. Now, if the PCSA goes to the Senate floor and gets the votes that it needs, and then it's law that it's 5-for-5, yeah, then they ain't eligible. You know, then they're not going to be eligible because it'll be federal law at that point. I don't believe that 24, 25, 26-year-olds should be there, especially. And so even Will Wade's situation is a little different because some of those guys have never stepped foot in college. So it's not like their eligibility ever technically started. I mean, it is what it is. You can't stand on both. You can't. Here's the thing that I would just end with here. A lot of you believe that Trinidad Chambliss probably shouldn't have gotten an extra year, right? I would assume a lot of you here would believe that. Okay. If you believe that he shouldn't have received an extra year because he ran out of eligibility, how do you change so quickly about the men's basketball situation? Is it only because you're an LSU fan? You'll say, well, duh, Blake, it's because I'm an LSU fan. Well, no duh. No duh. Can't change your stance, man. Can't change your stance. So it is what it is. Yeah, West Weeks. I always blank on names sometimes during the summer. All right, we're out of here. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Members only content in the morning. We'll see y'all there. Peace.